Homily 45. No one knows the Son except the Father. I still have powerful memories of my father driving 90 miles an hour on a small country road to get 13-year-old acute appendicitis me to hospital. In excruciating pain, I asked him if I were going to die. I shall never forget the look on his face. A father's love. I also have fond memories of my niece's husband coming home from work and immediately upon entering the door, dropping to the floor to play Barbie dolls with his young daughter. A father's love. I recently did a memorial service for the husband of 53 years of the proverbial girl next door, who is still like a sister to me. And when the daughter spoke about her father, you could have heard a pin drop in that chapel. No one knows the father like the son, but in this case, it was the daughter. This morning's gospel centers on Jesus' claim that only he knows the father, and that only he can reveal him. Jesus realized from early on that he had the inside track of knowing who Israel's God truly was, is, and what the Father wanted for his people. Only a few weeks ago, we heard the 12-year-old Jesus say to Mary, his mother, "Chill out, Mom. I'm on a mission planned by my Father." It must have saddened Jesus that other people, including the religious leaders and even his own disciples, did not have his intimacy with God. What is your image of Jesus' Father? A charming Austrian village Catholic church contains a striking mural. A crucified Jesus restraining the sword arm of a wrathful God the Father, with the world and its people behind Mary's mantle of protection. In short, an angry, wrathful God the Father, who demands the blood sacrifice of his Son, who is punished in our stead. That's good Calvinism, but it's hardly the Father that Jesus revealed. Jesus spoke of the God of Israel as Abba, beloved Father. No Jew would have dared to address God as Abba because it was too intimate. When Moses asked God his name, he was told, "I am who am," which could mean, "Mind your own business." However, when the disciples ask almost the same question, Jesus speaks about the father of the prodigal son, the beloved father, always on the lookout for his errant son, who receives the son back with full love, even killing the fatted calf for a feast. And because of Jesus, we dare to pray, "Our Father, our Abba, our beloved father." Because of Jesus, we are allowed to cross the line forbidden to Moses. Jesus also wants us to be as perfect as our Heavenly Father, a beloved Father who loves and cares for even the lowly sparrows of the air. The Bible statement, "God is love," says the most about Jesus' Father. The medieval mystic Julian of Norwich wrote, "How can there be wrath, anger, in a God who is love?" And because Jesus penetrated to the core of his Father's identity, Jesus himself dares to say, "I and the Father are one. He who sees me sees the Father." And because the Father is love, Jesus, his beloved Son, is enfleshed love, whose very being, actions and mission are and usher in his Father's kingdom of mercy, healing, justice, and love. The rabbis taught their people to carry the yoke of the Torah, the law. Jesus, whom the Apostle Paul understands as the goal of Torah, asks us to pick up his yoke, the yoke of love, which is easier to bear. As St. Ignatius of Loyola cried out in mystical prayer, "Such a father of such a son, such a son of such a father. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were convinced that only long hours of Torah study and piety gave them special wisdom and knowledge of God. They spoke patronizingly of the accursed mob that knows not the law. Hence, they do not know God. But Jesus says no. The wisdom about God has been revealed even to little ones. It does not require superior intelligence and great learning. Meister Eckhart, the great medieval Dominican mystic, wrote, "Better one master of life than 100 masters of learning." He himself, who had great learning. In fact, he said he was the man from whom God hid nothing. So we have a paradox here. In Boston College's renowned theology department, you will find people with doctorates in sacred learning who have written many books and lectured worldwide. But I have often encountered on and off this campus many people, even atheists and agnostics, who are theologians, according to a much older meaning of that word. They know God by experience, and they reflect him through their lives. One person who urged me to have these lectures recorded, or these homilies recorded, is a Jewish atheist who reads these homilies and sends them to his friends. So, in line with this morning's gospel, let our spirituality be more father-centered, not praying to some abstract God, but to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. As the Apostle Paul teaches, because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father.